Brick Smith Stark joins us. Hey, Bricks. I mean, this must be a day of mixed emotions, but great sadness for you.
I'm so sad, Mar. I'm still really in shock, and this is really the first time I've, you know, spoken about it publicly. I'm trying to digest it, and
yeah.
It's really just hearing that over the radio, just, I have like a lump in my throat. So.
What is your abiding memory of Mark today? Obviously, we talked a lot about the book. I've never forgotten you describing when you moved into that flat with him, and the scene you had, and he had no fridge, and the milk was kept on the windowsill. And I've never forgotten that picture. What's your abiding picture of Mark today?
I mean, Mark was such a complex human being, you know. And there's been so much said about him in the press by people who didn't really know him or only were shown one side of him.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, he was my husband, my first love, my writing partner, my mentor. Like, so I know him deeply. And, you know, people need to understand, yes, he was complex. Yes, he was driven. He created chaos. He was a maverick. He was a free thinker. He, you know, when people say, They people move, you know, they push the envelope.
Yeah.
For Mark, there was no envelope. He created completely from the ether. He was absolutely amazing. But he was also a really, at times, super loving human being and a gentleman, which, you know, is something that's not often talked about. But I can tell you that he was chivalrous, and he was a super great supporter of mine, certainly in the early days and all my time in the fall. And, you know, so incredibly brilliant man.
You said a couple of things. You said that you said created chaos, and obviously everybody knows that some of the time he was perhaps, you know, he was gallant to you, but you know, some of the people in the band perhaps might not feel they were treated that way. But do you think that that was his natural personality, or do you think, as you say, he created chaos to see what came out of that? He was deliberately sort of self-destructive of his own group to see what happened.
Well, yes. I mean, he deliberately did. He was, this is one of the ways that he worked. You know, if things got too safe, he'd shake it up and pull the rug out from underneath everybody, because in creating chaos, it caused us to work harder and find a different route to the same solution. And by doing that, new ideas were born from the ether, you know, and it forced us to be better musicians, to think on our feet, to be able to cope with any circumstances. And more importantly, he knew that that was the recipe to keep the Falls music fresh and alive and evolving and different. And that is why the Falls music stood the test of time. Whether he knew what he was doing consciously or unconsciously, I believe it was conscious. although it wasn't always pleasant to be a part of the chaos when it was swirling around you and you had to hold the ship, you had to try and right the ship. But you know, that was a brilliant way of working, and that's the way that he worked. And a lot of people don't know this, but before every show, he used to ask us to stand in a circle and hold on to each other, and then he would say, "Now rotate anti-clockwise," which is like literally manipulating the energy flow of the earth and, you know, shaking it up even before he went on stage.
Was he always right? I mean, people talk about him always having the carrier bag. Was he prolific? Was he always scribbling on bits of paper?
Yes, he was always scribbling on bits of paper. In our house, there were stacks and stacks and stacks of unused lyrics, bits and pieces, cut-up technique. He also carried a carrier bag because it looked really discreet. So he would, lots of times we'd be on tour in Europe and he'd have a carrier bag stuffed with thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds of money and carry it around, and no one would ever like nick it off him or steal the Tesco bag, you know. So he really was a carrier bag man.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's so kind of you to come on live with us today and everything. And I suppose with the Extricated, when you do some of those fall songs, I mean, that is going to be an emotional thing, even more so now, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't even get my head around any of that. I'm just really trying to take in the fact that Mark is gone, and I am like wavering through like an emotional ocean at the moment.
Yeah.
Trying to kind of keep it together. And so, yes, it will be emotional. I'll get to that point eventually. But right now, it's time. I'm just so happy that, you know, in Mark's life, I don't think the fall was ever fully appreciated. And it's sad to say, but as he's passing, I think more people will now be aware of the music and the contribution to the arts and to the music world that the man brought, and, you know, his unique brilliance. And I just think, you know, sadly, in his passing now, the flag is going to be raised and everyone's going to be aware. So let's celebrate the fall today, shall we?
Absolutely. And all our love to you, Brix, and send our love to Steve and Paul and all the guys, won't you?
Oh, so. And can I say to Mark, can we say to everybody that's contacted me on Twitter, me and the band personally, we thank you so much for all of your loving tweets and condolences and best wishes. And they mean so much. Honestly, really, it means so much to me. So thank you.
Thanks a lot, Brix. You take care.